Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point.
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus? Plus minus?
Hello and welcome to a Game 4 edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Game 4, first round, Rockets, Warriors. Tim Kyle coming with me. Marcus Thompson will be with us soon.
It was visible, but he did not walk by it.
What was the score?
That's a good question. Let me look here. Warriors 109-106.
I believe the Vegas line was 3.5 Warriors.
You know, Vegas always has
Yes. So physical, chippy, argumentative game, lot of stuff going
Steph
on.
Steph even mentioned it. Steph doesn't usually volunteer that it was, they lit a fire under me, kind of said. And that means there's a lot of stuff going on out there. Which you would imagine, Rockets know this one. They basically had to win this game. And the Rockets did not win this game, but they played better, except for a few of them. Shangoon.
You want to know what the Rockets' biggest problem is in this series? Make free throws. They lost by 3 tonight. They missed 12 free throws tonight. They missed like 36 free throws in this series. It's like they played like they probably should have won. Yeah, really,
they played well enough to win. Oddly enough, their offense looked really like good. You know, they got where they wanted.
Sengun looked good, mostly when Draymond was off.
He looked good too. But even when Draymond was on the court, they shot 50% most of the night. They weren't chucking threes. They took smart shots. They just played a very under control game. Dylan Brooks was feeling it, which is wild because this is the most Dylan Brooks thing. You're playing well, you're hitting your shots, and then you go get into this mess, and then we didn't hear from Dylan Brooks after that again.
I think he's played pretty well this whole series.
He disappeared after that. There was nothing. And he was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the guy you want the ball in his hands down the stretch.
That's their problem, right? Yeah. I mean, Sengun was the right guy to have the ball at the end, but when he's being guarded by Draymond, at the end of the game, I'm probably going to bet on Draymond.
I think they don't mind at all if Sengun comes down every single time.
The Warriors.
No,
they are playing.
They don't mind at all.
But he's their best guy to do that. He's the Rockets' best guy to do that. I mean, or work off of him with VanVleet. That's their best offense.
Like, if Houston had won the game, if Sengun hits that hook, or honestly, if Jimmy Butler doesn't fly in for, like, the rebound of the season and Steven Adams just taps it back, which easily could have happened, we're on this podcast talking about how they lost the game because Alperen Sengun dominated them for a straight quarter while Draymond Green was saddled with foul trouble. So I agree that they don't necessarily mind, but like Sengun killed their interior for a full quarter.
Yeah, but he did it on twos, and they couldn't score. Like that, what did they finish with? 106?
109, 106.
They couldn't crack. You know, Steph ended up with 13 shots. They couldn't crack the offense. In their mind, they're thinking, if we hold a team to 106, and Sengun was great, right? But if Draymond doesn't get in foul trouble, maybe it's 19.
But he got on foul trouble because Sengun was good, right? I mean, partly.
So they don't think twos will beat them. It almost did because of a unique circumstance, but they just don't think twos will beat them. The shit like that. That's why they didn't double. That's why they were like, we're not doubling him. Because if you double, now you swing, you get the open threes. They'd just rather Sengun beat
him. Yeah, I mean, look, the way the Rockets are going to beat him is to hold him under 100. That's how they beat him before. It's how they beat him this season. The Rockets, I think, 106, like, no, we should be able to win 106.
We should say Warriors are now up 3-1 a series. Yeah. Can close it out, game 5 in Houston. I think we should at least say it as on record as historical.
You know what this is? This is a newspaper writer to his core. It's like the score needs to be in the first three graphs.
I just like people might listen to this and go,
Where the game happened?
Chase Center, San Francisco, Dateline.
Put the triple byline.
I just like to establish the fact that we do understand that the Warriors are 3-1 with a chance to close out in 2 days. And, you know, they just did stuff that wins games. The But the Butler rebound was immense. He just flies in the air, arms sticking up. As Draymond said, I thought it was Kuminga when I saw how high he was. And this is a guy who was
Draymond,
was
you did not around. Think that was Jonathan Kuminga. You know the rotation.
Yeah, he wasn't in the game, but what was he doing?
You know the rotation.
But, you know, Jimmy Butler played 40 minutes after not playing last game. He clearly was suffering out there. Yeah. There's no question. And then
three where he got just, fouled, he's like walking
out. You know, yeah, the play, you know what was the play he told me to go look at? When he fouled Brooks in the late in the second quarters when Steph threw with one of those pick six turnovers that was like, oh, it was like four straight pick sixes by them. He has a chase down Brooks and hard foul, which ended up being a good foul. I think Brooks missed a free throw, maybe two. He's like, watch how I was running. And I just went and rewatched. He's just like scooting.
Because
he says his left leg, it's like hard right now for him to fully like bring it up because like, part of the fall, really, like it was kind of like left hip, left buttock,
left glute. But he was limping in the fourth quarter, and he still got it done. I just remember the play in open court. I think they were maybe up one. He gets the ball right around half court. There's Dylan Brooks in front of him. He just cuts to his left all the way down the lane. Jabari Smith is there. And how many times have we seen Jimmy Butler pass out of that? That's what he's been doing much of his time with the Warriors. He was not passing out of that time. He was going to put the ball in the basket left-handed. I just thought he willed it in. He didn't get much elevation. He was going kind of slow, but he just said, I'm getting past Dylan Brooks, and I'm going to go basically over Jabari Smith. And that was a gigantic basket. Obviously, the getting fouled on three, Dylan Brooks pushing him, making the three free throws. He's 12 for 12 from the free throw line. This is stuff that wins
sheer muscle layups.
Yeah, it's like he did not. That was not a springy layup. That was like
it was like supposed to bang off the rim, but he just like forced it in.
Yeah, that was not like a guy who's really healthy doing it, playing 40 minutes. As Kerr said, in a regular season, he would be out for a week. He missed one game, and you know how necessary is it for him to close this out now to get him more rest, to get Steph rest, to get Draymond rest. As Draymond said, it's not the end of the world if they don't win Game 5, but it would help immensely if they get these guys some extra rest.
Yeah. The 12-12 at the line is massive. Again, like, you know, as we talk about just, like, swing factors in the series, Warriors hitting their free throws. The biggest play of the game besides the Draymond defensive stop capped by that rebound is, like, a really bad Dylan Brooks foul in the corner. That was, what was there, 2 seconds on the shot clock. It was kind of a prayer shot. He wasn't going to make it. Game. Yeah, tie game, just gifting three free throws.
That was another sign of, you know, like the savvy and experience because Jimmy was saying, like, Dylan always does this. Like, he's like, every time you drive, he's like, they don't see it on drives, but he always puts his left hand on you. Like, he was saying, like, I knew he was going to do it. So he obviously kind of sold the call, and his hand, he knew his hand was going to be there, so it worked. So that's just like film study, savvy, like OG this, where this is always the Warriors' advantage in this series, even in a close game, the little things that they'll do to make a difference, right? Like that's, there's another part that Şengün scored when Draymond was in the game, but they ran the actual Fred VanVleet, who just hit like a monster three. So Draymond, he was afraid to leave Fred VanVleet to give another three. So he ended up switching and leaving GP2 on Şengün, who goes in to score. And Looney is like out. Looney has to stay with Steven Adams because he's like, it's more demoralizing.
Looney's wrestling a rhino over in the corner. He's so like, he can't help.
He's like, I want to go help, but
Steven Adams is insane. He's like a specified player.
He played a great game. I thought that was really interesting when Kerr starts hacking him with not in the bonus, not even close to the bonus in the fourth quarter when that two-center lineup is hurting the Warriors a lot and Draymond's out, which is killing the Warriors. And what does he may do? He takes Adams out instead of having him out there to get fouled and shoot free throws. And I thought
Draymond came in immediately because Looney came out.
Well, they put in Looney to commit the foul.
I just thought it was like I get why Udoka took him out. You possibly don't want him to shoot free throws, but Jesus, 46%. That lineup was working. And maybe you see at least go have him go to the line once. Like they had to go three fouls to get him to the line, and they just didn't want to do three fouls. I thought that was an interesting Kerr moment. I think Kerr coached that well. And then it got Draymond in. That's even better. Got Draymond in. Yeah. Draymond's in locking down the defense at the end. Some interesting little it does tell you how flawed the Rockets are with all that talent, that they're leaning on this two-center lineup, not the greatest, you know, most flexible lineup in the world, but against the Warriors, it hurts them, especially when Draymond is in foul trouble.
It's all, you know, again, we definitely see their flaws, know their flaws, and to me, their biggest one, like, what did Jalen Green score tonight? Single digits against? Yeah, so that's three out of four games he scored in single digits. And, but, so, like, to me, their flaws, their main flaws, they don't have, like, the star that they need. But, I mean, that double big lineup, like, it forced the Warriors to play a TJD Quentin Post lineup. Like, the Rockets, in some ways, are imparting their style and their will into this series. And, like, you could see why they won 52 games. Like, there is some impressiveness to them. And if they do swing a big trade this summer and keep the right guys, like, they could get really dangerous.
Yeah, they got to keep the right guys. They do have, like, they get into the ball, man. Like, and there was for most of the first half, the Warriors looked very timid against ball pressure. Like, it was just weird. They had Steven Adams and Sengun on the court, and nobody would take either one of them. Like, you got two bigs on you.
It was a zone, but they couldn't get past the zone.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, Kyrie wouldn't have a problem, right?
Yeah, no question. No,
oh, you're right. You mean greatest dribbler.
I'm just saying, like, Jalen Green wouldn't have a problem. No, like there's a lot of guys who say, I got to beat a big on the perimeter.
Wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, it's easy to bump them off a drive, and that's why they took so many. They were just chucking threes because the Rockets do get in you, and they dare you to play strong with the ball. I think Steph was tired after the 40-minute game. That's every other game, and now they're up in you again, and he started the game.
Was this Steph's worst game in the series?
Probably, yeah. The most fast. I think he had 19 shots.
Those turnovers. Yeah. He was feeling the pressure and throwing some bad passes. And in a row, one after another, he got the tech. You know, Marcus grilling him about his new bad boy attitude, taunting Dylan Brooks. They were not happy with Dylan Brooks tonight at all. But they're not happy with Dylan Brooks very often.
Jimmy Butler said he straight up just said, "I don't like Dylan Brooks." After he being caught on camera saying some upsetting things to Dylan Brooks at the free throw line. It's fun. I like Dylan Brooks as kind of the
you need
the
villains,
nemesis.
Man, villains are great. This is
that's why Draymond Green is like, you know, some people, you know, act like, you know, Draymond Green gets away with this or he's just not great for the league. Like, Draymond Green's fantastic for the league because he is a high profile, very willing villain in his own way.
And he riles up people. He gets their vitriol. They're foaming at the mouth. They're, like, trying to get him ejected.
Is he allowed to do this?
Kick him out of the game. Like, it's just the villains are great. I don't know why people.
Theater.
It's incredible.
You know why, like, the great, like, every theater production, every movie, every great movie you've ever known has a good villain?
You have to have an antagonist. You got to have somebody.
Every great Disney song is typically the villain song in the Disney song.
Always is. Think about it. Knowledge, I'm telling you. Okay. There's a quality to it. And, you know, this seems like one of those situations, TK, I don't think, like, can you see them in 10 years being like, oh, that was fun? I think they probably won't like Dylan Brooks in 20 years.
Yeah, someone was asked about that. Oh, Jimmy was asked. Monty asked, "Is are you having fun with Dylan Brooks out there?" It's not fun. Like, they just don't like him. They don't like him. They want to beat him. We saw the celebration after they won this game. It's like they won the series. In some ways, they did. But it really was like, like, it was a little more than usual. It was almost like they won a road game. It's like they were that emotional about it. Well, they knew how big this was, and they knew what it took at the end of it, I think. It took a lot out of them to win this game. But then it's like Redick playing all his guys the entire second half. You can do it. You better win. Yeah, you better win. And the Warriors pushed some guys. Again, you play Jimmy Butler 40 minutes with a, you know, really, really sore bruise on his backside. And you better win that game because he's not going to be feeling good on that flight tomorrow. He's just not. But, like, they won the game. That's all that matters. And now they got three shots to win one. I think they're going to get one of those. Maybe not. I don't know. You think they're going to win game five now? The game five is going to be tough.
But yeah, I mean, game five for this, you know, you've enjoyed comparing it to the Memphis series, which I think is like, you know, it's apt. Remember, I mean, I think we talked about it the other day, but remember game five in the Memphis series? I'd be skeptical of the Warriors in game five. We'll see.
True. They need a small like
well,
that.
They're not going to lose by 500 points. Sure. Yeah, that would be a problem, but you can still lose by 500 points and still come back here and win game six. So.
Remember who coached game six for the Warriors in that
Mike
series?
Mike Brown.
Brown.
I might have. No, I won't say.
Something was about to be told. Yeah.
Pods was big, though.
Okay. Yeah. What if 28 points?
Massive game for Pods. Like, even though, like, he had a three going, he was the one guy who could create offense. He said something. I don't know who asked the question, but in the post game, how valuable Pods is as a secondary playmaker. Not as the first, and Jimmy allows him to be the secondary.
Yeah.
But when he's catching, curling off the screen, catching on the run, he's getting so much better.
The go and catch,
yeah,
they call
it. He's getting so much better with the decision making, the attacking,
he's shooting.
And he's stroking the three.
So and Draymond mentioned irrational confidence, which for Draymond to praise somebody for having it is interesting. And we all know it, right? We all know BP is very confident in himself.
I remember the legendary story Draymond told me. I wrote a feature on Podziemski last year, but it was Draymond sprained his ankle before Podziemski's rookie season and was having the scrimmage in Sacramento to try to get him ready. It was a scrimmage that was just completely for Draymond because just you're just Podziemski, you were here to, you know, help Draymond get ready. And Draymond like committed a bad turnover and Podziemski just started yelling at him. He's not even, you know, he's a rookie. He hasn't even made the rotation yet. And Podziemski was like getting on him like, you can't make that play. And that was the moment where I was like, what is this? Ooh, kid? This yeah, but, you know, we all know, like, all right.
Hey, listen, he takes the shots. He makes plays. He's fighting for rebounds. Six three-pointers tonight. They all were necessary. He is out there banging around with Van Vliet and with Jalen Green and all those other guys. Give him full credit. I mean, he was guarding some big guys in the zone. He's, like, matched up some against the big guys sometimes.
Yeah, he ended up switched on Sengun a couple times.
Jabari a couple times. But I do watch that Houston Rockets offense, and you know what I'm thinking now. Reed Shepard could help this. Reed Shepard, what the hell?
I believe that's a next season.
Jabari Smith could help this.
Yes, that's another one.
Like Aaron Holiday. Devin Booker. Kevin Durant. No, sorry. We shouldn't go down that road. Cam Whitmore, there you go. I like my Kevin Durant one. With Podziemski. One of the moments in this series that will be etched in my brain. Butler comes down on the nasty fall, goes to the back. I went to the back and Butler's coming down. I think I told you guys that night, but he's walking like 0.1 miles an hour, like super slow. There's like six, like the Warriors doctors are back there. Celebrini's back there. His agent Bernie Lee's back there. Dunleavy's back there. Everybody's frantically like, oh no, like is hip broken? Is the season done? Like everybody's focused on this. And as that's going on, Podziemski and Drew Yoder walk by and Podziemski is ghost white. And I'm just like, all I'm caring about is like, what is going on with Jimmy Butler? He looks like he might need a wheelchair right now. And I turn around and I'm like, Podziemski looks horrible. Like he looks horrific right now. He's going in, he gets an IV. He doesn't even come out until like mid third, tries to play. We talked about it that night. He's 0-5, terrible in 20 minutes, doesn't hit rim on his shots. Eats bad seafood in Houston, doesn't eat for 72 hours, was better in game three, but you can tell we've all been sick like that. Like, okay, you can feel better 2 days later, but you're still like, man, like I had a rough week. I think the biggest thing tonight and it's probably a forgotten part of the series is like, I think Podziemski's sickness really killed their rotation for a couple of games.
And added to Jimmy being out for sure. No question. And just the decisiveness. They don't have other decisive players. They got Jimmy, they got Steph, they got Draymond. Like, they need one guy to be decisive. Make a shot, miss a shot, but, like, be strong with the ball.
Are we acting like Buddy Hield doesn't exist? Decisive.
No, Jimmy Butler would appreciate our lack of Buddy Hield.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's decisive if he's shooting it.
Is made. Yeah.
He's going
hey, to shoot or dribble.
Hey, he played some defense early on against Jalen Green. I also like, have you timed his dribble or something? He said, no, he said something else too, but I'm not going to say. But he started that game playing defense hard on Jalen Green. I thought it might not be a great matchup, but he did.
I just saw the internet had like sent out a video with Steve Kerr in the locker room talking. Like, he, in his postgame speech that they like to send out, he was like, really crediting Buddy Hield defense for like turning them up.
He didn't say that as a presser though. Steve Kerr just saved it for the locker room. Didn't tell us about that.
I mean, look, Buddy Hield's played one career playoff series for the Warriors and he's been a monster rising factor in it. It's just reality. He started tonight, by the way, over Moses Moody, and honestly, he's gonna start game five. I think that's
because Moody can be guarded by Şengün and Buddy cannot. And that's the whole thing right there.
Has he been better defensively this season than you ever thought?
Yes, I agree. Now, he's not great, but he competes. He does compete. Like, somebody was comparing him to Luka. We're just talking. Like, Luka wasn't competing on defense last game. He just was. And I was tired, whatever. Like, Buddy competes. He's not a great defense player, but he's out there swiping
he's
at the ball.
Really active before the blow by.
Yeah, like, he'll give up the blow by, but he'll help on. He'll do some help defense. Not so good in transit. Yeah,
but the truth is, like, you just need sometimes just a little pressure. Just apply pressure. Especially if you aren't a good defender. Like, make a dude make a decision instead of dancing in front of you, kind of picking your part. So he does that part pretty well.
And I think one of the things, especially, like, you know, talking to him throughout the season, it's become clear to me, like, he really appreciates playing in a winning situation. Because, you know, he won in Oklahoma. He went to the Final Four. But he was drafted by a bad Pelicans team and traded to the Kings and was on, you know, he like still reveres the Dave Yeager year in Sacramento because they were like almost 500. And so, like, I don't consider, like, he doesn't, and I think we're seeing it this year, he has kind of like a winning mentality. He wants to do winning things. Now, obviously, he makes those type of errors, but I do think part of why you're seeing him so juiced up defensively this year is like he's really appreciating, like, at this point of his career, this was his eighth playoff game ever. He was out of the rotation mostly in that Sixers series last year. So this is the first chance he's had to, like, you know, play with that type of intensity. And he's had a good series. He really has.
He's got to play. Like, I mean, we went over it last. We don't have to do it last episode. But, like, he does have to play. He's a spacer. He can move. He is not a stationary dribbler maybe, but not a stationary player. He'll give the ball up and move. He makes defenses have to, you know, move with him. Works really well with Steph. He's got to play, and he's really appreciated here. And the back and forth with Jimmy is like the thing they do now. This is all how it works for a player who's kind of bounced around, finds the right spot, knows how to play with Steph and Draymond. It's just working out for him, and it's like he's got to play. Like, even when he's not shooting the ball well, he didn't shoot the ball great tonight, but like he's got to play.
And by the way, maybe like a different series, the next series, whatever, could change that, but this particular matchup, it's clear that he has a strategic advantage that the Warriors believe he needs to play a lot.
I don't know who else is going to play though, even if it's not strategic. Like, they're not playing Kuminga.
If it was a Lakers series and they went super switch heavy small environment, I mean, like, Kuminga closed against the Lakers, I could see that. But at this point, we probably think it's going to be a Minnesota series. That could be a, you know, big series.
Kuminga in that series. No.
Maybe. I mean, not right away.
This was going to be the series.
I do think a Lakers series, because he would have Steve and their staff would have watched the last Lakers game in L.A. when Kuminga, they used him to switch a bunch. They actually liked his defense, by the way, the other day against Jalen Green. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that. But, I don't know. I just don't know that Buddy Hield's going to be playing 30 minutes a night in a Timberwolves series, theoretically. But maybe. I don't know.
I think he's going to play at least 24, and then we'll see from there. But GP2 is going to play a lot in that series. He's going to play a lot in that series. Moody is, you know, shot's not really falling,
hasn't for a while.
Yeah, that's just like they got some interesting little formulas they got to make here because they don't have the perfect depth chart. They just don't. But the team that you follow really well, okay, so you could throw out like seven different variations and they all work. The Warriors got like two that work and they're lining them up right now. I look at it like, how did Houston lose to the Warriors without Jimmy Butler? Like, how, that's the one. How did they let that happen? That was an embarrassment for them to lose that game. But they did, because they got all these good players. Yeah, I mean, but they got a lot of good players who did not play good in that game. And that's a messed up. That's how you mess up the series.
Okay, anything else as this series shifts back to Houston?
Did we talk about Draymond?
We didn't. We didn't. We should. I believe you're
right. I'm writing Draymond, but he was interesting. He loved, like, you know, it's funny in the after the thing. You know who comes up to me and is like, he was robbed. He was robbed. He should have been defensive player of the year.
Joe Lacob.
Joe Lacob. He was not. He was like a proud dad in the back of the media.
It was also a love fest. Joe Lacob was in there for Draymond's presser, and you know, Draymond's like it was a Jimmy Butler question. He's like, let's turn it to the commitment our organization made. 2 years, $120 million.
He won't be happy, and none of us will be happy. That's good. Office politics about Draymond. But Draymond wanted this matchup. Like, he wanted Şengün. I'm still surprised that they said, hey, yeah, game on the line, go against Draymond. Just shocked.
Do you feel like the Rockets just kind of their players messed up? Because they brought over Van Vliet for a screen, but it was like a bad screen.
What I was saying earlier, GP2 was really smart, and he blew up, so they couldn't do Van Vliet couldn't set the screen.
Udoka definitely didn't just say, hey, Şengün, attack
take
him.
He wanted him in the action.
Yeah, but he didn't take him. But is that it? Like, you try a screen and that's it? Like,
I would probably blame Şengün a little bit more.
He probably went early. He took the hook with like six seconds.
He didn't even like he was pulling. He was taking his time. He was doing three and four moves. This one, he hit him once and went for the jump hook. Like, it was like, that's what you, I just, that was wild to me. But like, that's what, like, Draymond wanted that. He's been talking about that, like, in the locker room for, you know, at least the last two games. Is like I want, you know, he wants that. He lives for that. It's wild to think after 12 years he's still there. Like, nobody on this team could guard Şengün except for Draymond.
It was a wild night for Draymond because he zero fouls in the first quarter. Zero fouls at the 5 minute mark of the second quarter. Foul. So he's at two. And then I'm not, and by the way, gets a technical in that whole Draymond or, you know, Dylan Brooks skirmish, which, so he gets a technical, which felt a little soft for a first technical, but that obviously, as we all know, puts him on the edge of you getting another little skirmish, you get the second one. He has the thing with Tari Eason, which I think the refs, like, really saved the Warriors in a lot of ways by, I think, kind of like purposely being kind of creative and saying, oh, we'll go flagrant here instead of technical. I thought he was going to get tossed. That seemed like you're just prototype double T. But within that, and I don't even know if you're allowed to do this, they gave him two fouls. They gave him a foul and then a flagrant, a loose ball foul and a flagrant. That's how he went from two to four. So he was at four at half, which I don't think you're allowed to give two fouls. I think that was a mess up. And then that's the reason he gets a fifth foul, like 8 minutes left in the third.
He said five. I thought he had four.
Yeah. So they gave him a double foul. I actually think the ref screwed this up. I was a pool reporter. Like, I probably should have asked.
College, if you get a technical, that's a personal foul. But it's not the way it works in the NBA. So the flagrant should not count.
I think he should have been at four fouls, but he was at five, which made him sit a quarter, which made Şengün kill. So it's two weird things here where I think the Warriors can say, hey, I think the ref screwed that up and you took him off the floor for a quarter, where I think that the Rockets would say, hey, how about you just say double technical? Draymond should have been off the floor the whole game.
What? So I still haven't seen a replay.
I was told.
What did he do?
He kicked Tari Eason. I think that's.
It was kind of like a kick on the way down, and then there was a jersey grab and an arguing, and then there was like almost another flail. It was a weird little thing. Yeah. I just thought it would be a double T, but.
Because Eason got a T.
Yeah,
so Draymond probably if it's action, but
that was the official saying, like, we do not want this to be decided by a Draymond Green ejection, because I think generally the entire mix up of the quarter didn't feel anybody was ejection worthy in the game.
That was weird. Okay, I was wondering about that because it did seem to go from three to five in a second, but I thought I just missed one somewhere.
Uh-huh.
That's how
they gave him two.
I missed the initial delay of game on the Warriors that got them the technical where they couldn't, and then they couldn't challenge because they delayed the game in order to get the timeout.
The ref was saying you waited too long.
Yeah,
and then they all walked on the court saying timeout and walked off, so he gave them a delay game.
Yeah, that was a technical. That was a point in a pretty important.
Yeah, not only a point, but it wasn't a foul. Like if they had actually gotten it in time and challenged it, they would have wiped away. So it was three free throws. It was kind of a coaching screw up. But what's interesting, and again, to go back to an earlier point, Houston just kept missing the free throws. Every time I was like, oh, that's massive. You just gave him three free throws. It was like clank, clank. Or the when they gave Steph and Draymond the technical and Dylan Brooks, it was like, oh, wow, you're gifting Houston a point.
Miss.
It's just.
Yep. That's how you lose these games. That's how you lose these games. Houston's been doing, screwing things up.
How they go to replay and don't actually adjudicate the thing.
Which one?
Like all of them. But it's like, find out what happened. And to do it appropriately, don't be like, all right, you were involved. I'm going to give you something. Like, actually figure it out. You took 10 minutes in the thing. Like, why not? Don't do the 10 minutes and come back and be like, hey, everybody give a take. If that was the case, it's a minute long. You were involved. Tech for all of you. Let's move on. It took 10 minutes to come back and be like, all right, Steph, twice you got
to. It took 3 hours. The second quarter.
Give a technical foul for somebody going two in this series. Just like that was just like, all right, everybody has to get one for participation.
Yeah,
but you took 10 minutes. Like, actually come with a conclusion. That was so irritating.
Yes, it was too slow. The refs were not great. I'll say that one. I am largely a defender of refs. They were not great. Goble was a hesitant. Bill Kennedy, who I thought was not good. But hey, the way it goes, we can't get the Scott Foster and Zach Zarba every single game.
Scott Foster's still on the IR.
Yeah, that's a hurting. That's hurting them. Like, some guys are not top.
Just wait till it's like game one of the finals.
I know they need him back. Well, he might be back by then.
Calf injury.
He's on the list in this round. He's supposed to. So I imagine he'll be back.
Oh, I believe he's like sitting up on the rooftops. He might have been the guy making the replay decisions.
Go with the flavor.
Do not allow him to say two to Dylan Brooks. That sparked everything. Lay the law down. Maybe he was the one tonight that said, you could go with the flagrant on Draymond.
Yeah, you're the flagrant. Yeah. Don't throw him out. We don't have to explain later.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, especially after the Detroit thing, they're like, all right.
They did a terrible job explaining everything. There was no question about that. But, all right, let's get some
more. All right, we will talk to y'all from Houston, Game 5. Okay, me and Marcus will talk to y'all from Game 5 in Houston.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.